morning, Marion. I hope you're having a good day. It's supposed to get up near 70 degrees today in Marion, and I hope you're having a wonderful day so far. I did a lot of lawn mowing this weekend. I hope you got yours done. Well, if you didn't, it's okay. Relax, lay back, and take another nap. I was not doing a whole lot because, well, I got the lawns mowed, but other than that, I was working on trying to finish up my election report. There are all sorts of things you have to do, even when you lose, and even when you lose big, with very little money in the coffers. So I had to take care of that, and got it done. Well, pretty well done. I still have one more little section, but we'll take care of that. Well, I had another night where I stayed up and, well, I woke up at 4 o'clock, took the dog out. We both went to the bathroom, and I couldn't get back to sleep, so I sat around and worked on my show. Unfortunately, it went all over the place. I had very few thoughts that were coherent. So I've got notes in my little phone running from A to Z. And so it's going to be kind of a chain of thought progression here today. I did watch some of the shows this morning, which gave me some thoughts. I'm really concerned about where our government is going. I'm concerned because if you can't believe the government, which I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, it's pretty darn hard to believe a president who, I guess the Washington Post says, over 10,000 lies, I think it is, that he said, or 10,000 misrepresentations that he said. I'm not sure quite exactly how they do that. But there is so much insincerity within the government. And I'm talking on both sides of the aisle and the independents. They say what they think people want to hear. They look way too much at how they are polling, as opposed to whether they're doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. And I heard, let's see, who was I listening to? Oh, I was listening to, I'm going to, David Brooks. I was listening to David Brooks yesterday on Q&A on NPR, I believe it was, or PBS. And David Brooks said something that I was impressed with. Now, those of you who don't know who David Brooks is, David Brooks is usually the liberal guy when there's an older gentleman, I can't remember his name, and David Brooks, and they argue plus and minus right and left on certain shows. And David is always the conservative. And I quite often agree with David, much to my wife's consternation. But I like David. I think David is a very thinking gentleman. Now, we may disagree on how to spend our money, but he's pretty generally a liberal Republican. He's a centrist Republican, let's put it that way. But one of the things he said, and he's just written a book, something about mountains, two mountains or something like that. And in the book, he's had a, over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, he's had a, a life-changing experience. He did get a divorce, and then after the divorce was over for a while, he ended up falling in love with a young lady who was working for him at the time, and they ended up getting married, and he is full of love. You can tell that when you listen to him talk. But he said this, When you take away the norms and civility in this world, it's just dog eat dog. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that's where we're going. Dog eat dog. What a great way to live. What a great way to bring up your kids. Dog eat dog. And I know there are people that do bring their kids up that way. You bring your kid up to be a tough guy. I did not. I had very strong rules, and I didn't spare the rod. I didn't use it a lot, but I really believed that you had to bring up your kids with love rather than fear. So we didn't do a whole lot of rotting of the children. If you ask my eldest son, who might be listening this morning, I doubt it, though. He's at work at Franklin University, and I doubt that they let him turn the radio on. But if you talk to my son, he will tell you that I was a tough taskmaster, and I don't really think I was. But one of the things that I liked about David's discussions on the question and answer show is that he believes in the morality. We need to bring morality back to the government, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. And there is a lack of morality on both sides of the aisle, depending on who you talk to. I'll guarantee that. Now, we tend to focus on our president because of his problems with the truth. But and the other part of that is that if he has problems with the truth, then who do you believe? I frankly have a hard time believing anyone. There are a few that I will believe more than others, but it's my feeling that we need morality, and you know that I'm an agnostic at best, probably an atheist. I'm a little afraid of saying I'm an atheist for fear lightning will strike. But one of the things that I truly believe is the right way to go is having morality lead our nation as opposed to religion. As far as I can see, religion down through the centuries has done an awful lot to cause death and destruction. Because there are people, men in the past, men who run those institutions of religious hierarchy, and they want power and they want money, and they forget about the morality and the meaning of their religious beliefs, if they have them. There's an awful lot of chicanery that has gone on in the name of God. That makes it very difficult for several of us to continue to believe in what we were taught as young children. The morality of our government is an absolute necessity. That's the way it was set up. Our forefathers set the government up with the expectation that moral men at that time, moral men would run the different branches of government. It was expected that no one of the three branches of government would have more power than the other. And especially in the last 2 years, we've been fighting that with a lot of people hoping that the executive branch would be stronger than the other two branches. And to the point where the executive branch has now started appointing people into the judicial branch that think the way he does rather than think the way for the goodness of the American people. That's a personal thought, and I know there are people that absolutely disagree with me, and that's fine. That's what you should do if you don't agree, but think through it before you disagree. I have to correct myself quite often because of my critical thinking. You've got to think critically, or you're kind of lost in the woods. this morning, my wife got up, and I was watching some of the political stuff because I was trying to get a little bit more ammunition for the show today. And she said, and my wife does not swear, but she says it's depressing to wake up anymore with all this crap going on. And that's pretty strong for her. She meant the listening to the politics. I understand that. I think I'm probably in the minority of people that enjoy listening and thinking through where are they coming from. I have not been able to figure out the Republican Senate yet, and that's beyond me. I'm not quite understanding why. And that's another thing I think we need to do. We need to make laws, or not just rules, because obviously this president and this Senate, as far as I can see, excuse me, do not feel that rules apply to them. And that's another problem. That's kind of the way banana republics start. A leader takes over. He puts in people that agree with him. If they don't, they off with their head. The more power he gets, the more he wants, the more he wants, the more he puts people in power, and it just takes over one side. Now, we have, because of our, I would have been happy if this was reversed and the Democrats were in power and had both sides of Congress and the executive office at the last election. I would have been happy to see the Republicans win as much as the Democrats won. I do not believe that we should have a Congress and executive branch and judicial branch that all agree. You tend not to get anything done, and it tends to lead, as far as I can see, to severe corruption. How do we enforce these laws that we have if some of the people think they're above the law and just say, we're not going to do it? And especially if it happens to be the president, what are you going to do? Send the sergeant of arms, who is an elderly gentleman, I will say, who has very little behind him as far as power, and the only thing he can do is get, I guess, the Capitol Police to go with him and enforce these rules, they're not going to do it. So therefore, there is no sense in having rules and subpoenas that correct the executive office, because he just says, I won't do it. I think that's, we've got to get beyond that. We need to make laws where the state police can go in and force these people to testify, if that's what they're supposed to do, if that's the rules. For years and years and years, a subpoena, as far as I knew, if you went against a subpoena, you were going to jail. Well, now it doesn't apply to those who are in office and those that are high up the silver gold chain, whatever it is. We right now we need to have an organization, or at least we need to develop some organization, whether it be the Senate or the Congress or the Capitol Police. We need to have an organization that has some teeth that can force people. And that's all the president is, and that's all any of our governmental people are. They're just people, and we need to have some organization that if they break the rules, they have to pay. We also need to stop all the noise and the lies. All it does is confuse all of us who are not the most brilliant people in the world. We're getting confused because there are so many lies out there. After a while, you just think it's all lies. I really think we need to stop those lies. I don't know how we're going to do it if both parties won't participate. We need both parties to participate. We need both the Congress and the Senate to participate to stop the lies. I find it crazy that one person, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, depending on whether you're in Congress or you're in whether you're in the House of Representatives or you're in the Senate, one person controls what they vote on. That doesn't seem right to me. I don't know where that started and why that started. Mr. Roberts and his rules, I guess, does that. But it just seems crazy that one person can stop an entire Senate from being able to vote on something they all agree on. And it works the other way around, too. In the Congress, one person controls the votes. So we need to find a way to stop the noise, stop the lies. It's just running rampant throughout Washington, D.C. I have to go back and look at all my notes that I wrote to myself a couple nights ago. One of the things I wanted to mention, and I don't think I mentioned it last week, I found a site called votesmart.org. Votesmart.org. Terrific site. You can go to it and type in the name of, let's say you want to see how Jim Jordan's doing, or you want to see, your senators, your governor. You want to see how these people are doing. You type their name in, pull it up, click on it, and it will tell you how they voted, what their positions are, how much money they've raised. It'll tell you a ton of stuff. And so I really encourage you, especially as we're coming up to an election. I think it's the 7th. I don't have my calendar with me, but it's real soon. I would have you go to that site and look up some of the truths and some of the statements your people that you want to vote for have said. If they've done speeches, there's stuff like that in there. It's really a good site. Okay. Remember 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when Steve Bannon was really the guy that was making all the noise for the White House. Steve Bannon said he wanted to he believed in deconstruction of the administrative state. And what that sounds to me like is he wanted chaos, he wanted anarchy, basically. And so that he could take over with, and he was supporting Trump at the time. I think he still does. I think he wanted a king or an emperor. I think if we don't knuckle down and find out how to develop a government that we deserve, we could deconstruct our administrative state to the point where it's anarchy and a tyrant might take over. And I know that's, I hate the idea of Chicken Little, and the sky is not necessarily falling yet, but I don't think as a democratic republic, I don't think that we can assume that there aren't people out there that want that to happen. And one of the points that I was watching on the Sunday shows that a lot of the left-wing people were saying is that 2020 will be a vote for good over evil. Now, that might be going a touch too far. For instance, David Brooks is not evil, even though he is he's a right winger, and I know that he's conservative. I have a lot of conservative friends that I really like. We just don't talk politics very much. But I don't think it'll be a vote of good over evil, but it may be a vote of good people over evil people. I think we need to really think about that. I've hammered on this for, well, years, quite frankly, but when I was running for office, it was important to me to bring out that we need to replace the quest for money and power to the building of a moral life. And right now, it seems to me that the people that are espousing a moral life are from the right side of the aisle instead of the left side of the aisle. And I don't believe that that is honestly the way things are. I know an awful lot of people on the left side of the aisle who are very, very good people. They want to help their fellow man. They want to do right by people. They want to care about each other. They have empathy. And I know a lot of people on the other side of the aisle that absolutely do not believe that way. But I don't think it's shared those thoughts. I think we all want our neighbor to be happy, as long as we're happier than our neighbor. I think we need to replace greed with that moral life. Both liberals and conservatives can be moral people, and both liberals and conservatives can be immoral or amoral. I think that we need to be careful with what we pass on as well. If we start shooting our mouths off about all the things that we hear on radio and television without thinking, without being critical, without fact-checking them, we're going to spread a lot of lies. And one of the things that scares the heck out of me is we're already starting into 2020 election, and already we've been told that Russia is involved in messing up our election. Now, I rarely talk about national governmental problems, but today is going to be a little bit different. The national problems that we have, I don't know why anybody would deny that Russia has messed up our political system to some degree. So we have to be very critical of all those things we see on Facebook that has a nasty-looking picture of Hillary Clinton or a nasty-looking picture of Donald Trump. Be very careful of the hate talk on both sides of the coin. You know, we have some common truths that all of us, I think, can agree on, or at least we can agree that they're problems, so therefore we should be able to think through some answers to these problems. One of the problems that we have for sure is that manufacturing jobs are just going away. Mining jobs are going away. We don't need coal like we used to need coal. We truly don't need oil as much as we used to need oil. Now, if you've been watching TV recently, I'm trying to remember the name of the, it might be Jaguar, but one of the cars is talking about going electric and almost making it sound like it's more mainstream than regular but gasoline-powered automobiles. I would love to have an electric car. Right now, they're pretty expensive, but I think it's a neat idea. The other problem that my wife and I have talked about, if we all go electric and do away with gas and fuel and maybe coal, the problem is, what are we going to do with all those batteries? Right now, I think they're pretty toxic. I'm not sure of that. Maybe I'm completely wrong. And if you know the answer to that, I'm asking you to call 740-383-9944. Or 383-WWGH is our number if you want to call. If you know some facts about whether how bad those batteries are, I'd be interested in knowing that. If not, don't worry about it. I'm going to do some research on that this week, and I'm going to try and find out how good or bad those batteries are. I know they're heavy, and I know a large percentage of the weight of a car that is an electric car is taken up in batteries, but now they're getting smaller and smaller. I'm a little concerned if my cell phone can start on fire in my pocket, who's to say that my car won't start on fire? But anyway, I don't know the answer to that. So don't take any of that as the rule of the law. But anyway, those jobs, manufacturing jobs, the ones that so many people came up north to have from the south, where at the time there weren't very many jobs, those jobs are all going by the wayside. You know, robotics is causing jobs to be changed. They're not going away. They're just different jobs. Somebody's got to make the robots. And somebody has to program the robots. And there are a lot of jobs that are coming about. But it's a different educational set. And we need to learn, and we need to encourage our kids to get into fields that will encourage the learning of those skills. I know people say, well, I've always been a miner, and I want to stay a miner, and I understand that. I have not always been one particular field. Well, I guess I have. I've always been in public relations of some sort, but I'm lucky in that I can move around in all sorts of industries, whereas if you are a coal miner, it's kind of tough to find other. I suppose you could be a zinc miner, but there aren't very many jobs for zinc miners. You could be a gold miner, but you'd probably be alone, and you'd have to be worrying about somebody trying to shoot you with your gold. Anyway, it's kind of tough for those folks. And I really understand and feel some empathy for my friends from West Virginia who are struggling to find work in a state that for a long time was pretty much controlled by coal and may still be. Okay, that's one of the problems we need to solve. But I think if we sit down, both right and left, and start talking about it without worrying about, your motivation has to be the people of the United States. It can't be, what are you going to do for me? All right. Global warming is happening. Now, I know that there are a lot of people on the right side of the aisle that are trying to tell you it isn't happening, but the scientists are all saying it is happening. And I think nature is letting us know that it is happening. Global warming we should be able to help ourselves at least slow it and hopefully reverse it to some degree. Global warming should be something that all of us can sit down and talk about. Now, I understand more conservative people will say, we don't need to put that much money into that. And more liberal people are going to say, you got to save everything from a snowflake to an elephant, you know. And so you just have to be a little bit more critical and start understanding that right is not necessarily one way or the other. Right is finding what works best for all of us. Another problem, especially in the state of Ohio, that we should all be able to get together and at least try to agree to, and that is the problems we have with drugs. I was watching a show last night, well, it was on 60 Minutes, I believe, talking about fentanyl and how there are some fentanyls, and apparently fentanyl was designed as a an elephant tranquilizer, I think they said. There are some fentanyls that are so strong that if you touch it with a bare hand, you can die of an overdose. That's not good stuff. Let's face it, we need to find an answer to all the deaths, and they tend to be young people. And I would venture to say they tend to be young men more than young women. But there are a lot of older folks, too. But I'm just talking in generalization. We're killing a lot of our young people by allowing that to come into the country. And apparently, according to 60 Minutes, it's coming in the through the post office, because the post office has been given an extension of, I don't know what you'd say, but they don't have to check their packages quite as much as like a UPS and, you know, all the major carriers. So they're actually just mailing them from, and China happens to be the country that is dominant in the illegal fentanyl moving. You know, it seems if we know where it's coming from, we even know the people's names where a lot of it's coming from. If we know that, we should be able to stop it. And if we put our heads together, both right and left brains, both right and left people, and start thinking about answers to this rather than who's going to make money off of it, who's going to screw the other person off of something. If we start to think about what's good for the American people, not what's good for me, not what's good for my friends, what's good for the American people, I think we can answer a lot of these questions. excuse me. Still got that cough. I'm starting to believe, I happen to look up, I'm taking a pill that helps cut down on my cholesterol. And it's not a statin, because I'm very allergic to statins. They give me horrible body aches and pains. But it's a different type of pill. And one of the side effects is that you have an upper respiratory feeling. And I think maybe that's what I've got, because it's not going away. Anyway, the drugs are running rampant. We've got to find a way to answer that problem. Another problem that is severely out of balance is our financial imbalance. We are getting people, I don't remember when I was younger, not that much younger, maybe 15 years younger, you didn't hear about all the billionaires. Maybe there might be one or two billionaires in the world 20 years ago. But now there are tens of lots of them just in the United States, and they're billionaires. There are people that are making $50-70 million a year in salary, but there are also people that are only making $6.50 an hour in salary. One of the questions asked of, and I've just forgot his name, one of the financial wizards in the world, he was asked by a member of Congress, a freshman member, I can't remember her name either, how are you going to help the people that work for you that make $16.75 an hour, which I thought was pretty good, but it was a California company. And she pointed out that in California, the absolute minimum amount of money you need to make per hour just to have a living wage is right around $19 an hour. And their maximum wage was like $17 or something like that. Good questions. Did this guy want the person working for him to go off and find another job, which will decrease the productivity, no doubt, in the job she's doing right now for him? There are a lot of real problems in our financial imbalance right now. I watched a TED Talk a while back, and I I'm terrible with names. Anyway, the gentleman, I believe he made sheets or pillows or something like that, but he was a multimillionaire. And he said, I can only drive one car at a time. I can only live in one house at a time. Why do I need millions and millions and millions of dollars? Actually, the TED Talk people did not put his TED Talk on the air. They felt he was too controversial, I believe it was. But that was like 10 years ago when they refused to put him on the air. Now he'd be kind of right in the middle of the 16 to 20 Democratic people we have running for president. Anyway, another thing that has really caused problems is the divide. And the divide, I'm a firm believer that the divide that we have in the United States right now is created by several things, but, well, one of them might even be just by Russia. And I know people don't like to hear Russia, 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 but let's face it, all of our intelligence people tell us that Russia is actually involved in it. But the divide has come because, I don't know if you remember being a little guy, little girl, whatever, and having paper drives. We had paper drives when I was young. And you were put on a red team or a blue team. And you actually you worked really hard. And the team that got the most papers in the paper drive would win some sort of prize and the honor of being the champions. But the problem with that is, it created a lot of, the paper drives would last like a couple of weeks, and for 2 weeks you wouldn't talk to anybody on the other side. That's not good human relationships. I think we've got to find a way to get around that. One of the ways is to do it yourself. Force yourself to go out and introduce yourself to people you don't know, people you disagree with, people that are of a different skin color, people that are of a different religion, and which brings up that horrible shooting again we've had in a Jewish synagogue. Anyway, I'm so sorry for all those people. I can't imagine going through something like that. But anyway, our divides have become crystallized. No longer are we thinking with our heads, we're thinking with our, what side are we on? Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And another, our health costs are escalating. I take, let's see, what do I take? I take probably 3 or 4 pills a day. Mainly because my doctor likes to put me on pills, I think. But, you know, I have a pill for cholesterol. I have a pill for blood pressure. I have a pill. I take a baby aspirin. He actually prescribed to me a vitamin D. So I take a vitamin D thing. Anyway, we have all these pills, but I have, because of my allergy to certain types of things for cholesterol, excuse me, I have one, there is one injectable that I can take that won't cause my entire body to ache and pain and stuff like that, but it costs $450 a month. Now, I'm on Social Security. Do you think I can afford $450 a month? And there are people that make less than, and we were fortunate. My wife has some inheritance that has helped us, and we've planned well so that it will take us through the end of whatever we have here on the earth. And but there are people that don't have Social Security, they don't have anything, and how do you live if you're on a minimum wage job, you have no inheritance, you have no Social Security? I just I just don't understand how we expect people to pay for medicines that cost like that. Now, I understand there is a research and development that goes into these medicines. It costs money. The medical companies need to make some money, but I don't know a single medical company that's really hurting. Do you? I don't think so. I think they make billions of dollars every year. So I would say that they need to find something other than money, maybe like morality, that might help them help our fellow Americans. We have the highest cost of drugs throughout the world. As a matter of fact, even in veterinary medicine, our costs are higher. I probably go to jail when I tell you this, but there are certain medicines that I buy for me outside the country and also for my dog outside the country. I'm not going to go any further than that. All right. But we need to find a way, and I know that my good friends on the Republican side and my good friends on the independent side and my good friends on the Democratic side could sit down and find a way that we could all reduce the cost of medicine so that our fellow Americans could live a comfortable life, pursuing happiness, which is what it says in our Constitution. The health cost problem, I know we can solve. It's just greed. And you'd think that you could control greed somehow. But we seem to be at a time in our history that greed seems to be more, much more important than empathy, morality, anything along that line. We also have a problem I know we could correct. As a matter of fact, I think we have a huge number of people in the United States that want to correct this problem. I remember reading a while back that like 70% of Americans want to develop rules about gun ownership. Common sense rules, things like guns should be registered. The shooting at the synagogue in California this past week was done again with an AR-style gun. And I know they're just guns. They don't shoot themselves. But ARs, I don't know if you've ever seen the demonstration of the difference between a normal gun and a high-velocity gun and what it'll do. But I did notice that the rabbi who was shot in the hand, which you would think would be a pretty minor wound, getting shot in the hand, he was minus a finger when he was talking the other day. So obviously it blew part of his hand off. And that's the problem with these AR guns. They are so powerful, they explode once they go into you rather than going through you. That is a scientific fact. And I know that there are people who will absolutely disagree with that, but that is a fact. I remember shooting M16s when I was in the Army. And one of the things we would do is shoot downrange at a tank of gas, and that gas would explode. I mean, I imagine gas, when you shoot a bullet through it, it's going to explode no matter how powerful the bullet is, but it was just amazing and scary. And we are also told that if you hit an enemy, just graze them with your M16, it'll take their arm off, which is kind of scary. But that's what those guns were developed to do. I think we need to cross the aisle and find a way to do some sensible gun education, control, and whatever we can do to cut down on the gun violence. Places like Australia and now New Zealand, who have done away with, the proliferation of guns have really drastically cut their deaths by gun. Discrimination against people is an obvious problem that we have. And I don't mean just discrimination against blacks or discrimination against Hispanics or anything like that. I mean general discrimination is...
With all the things they have going on about doing this and doing that, if we were all just more kind to each other, think of yourself in relationship to other people. And they go through the same things you do. And just be kind. It's so easy, it's so simple. And I've seen rooms change because somebody was kind. And that's a great impact.
Pat, as we end this interview, and I always hate to say goodbye, but you say you love to sing, I Love Your Voice. Can you give us a little line of something as we part ways here?
Of what, a song?
Any song you like.
Did you ever go into an Irishman's shanty where whiskey is whist? And the boozeville is plenty. The table is set with a door and a hatch in the door. The house is shut with a latch.
Pat Carroll, I adore you. Please come.